today I want to start off by reading. I'm in 1 Colossians, the 13th verse. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loved, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. People, I want to tell you, and I want to remind you till death does us part, that you have been forgiven from sins. There is a mixture in the church between grace and law. There are legalists amongst us that the Bible says beware. And I tell you, every day I get on the radio and I come with a cutting word that's going to break the mindsets of religion. I tell you, we're not fighting demons and devils like the church believes. We're fighting a religious spirit that tries to creep its way into the church. Paul understood it in Galatians 3. He says, who has bewitched you? Those are strong words. He said, you started out in the spirit, and now you're trying to work out your salvation in the flesh. My God, people, understand that God has wrought you with his blood, and because he's wrought you with his blood, you make it into heaven, not by the skin of your teeth like some preach. You make it to heaven by the love and mercy of God.
Wow, you know, I had came to Vic and I says, Prophet Vic, you've been mentoring me in the grace of God for 2 years. And I says, Vic, I'm getting it. I almost have it. It's taken me a while. And I said, this is the intention of heaven over the church today. But in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 6, it says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Verse 7, for if that first covenant had been flawless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Now, in verse 13, it says, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. And, you know, brethren, the word obsolete means no longer of general use. It really means it's out of date. So, what the Old Testament couldn't produce, the New Testament came in, which is the cross, the blood of Jesus, the anointing, the power of God, the present. The New Testament became what the Old Testament couldn't produce. It was a shadow, in other words.
Over here in 1 Colossians, the third verse, we always thank God for our Father and Lord Jesus Christ when we pray, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, faith and love that springs up from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, that you have already heard about the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you all over the world. The gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day. And you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. My God, Paul the apostle knew that it was by grace. It's no accident that God takes a murderer. Come on, I said he's a murderer. He took a murderer named Saul, changed his name to Paul, and started to demonstrate the grace of the Spirit of God. He changed Paul from a murderer to a lover of grace. Paul needed that grace to win the race. Paul knew that he needed it. There was times that Paul says, I went into the third heavens. He said, but then I came back and I said, Lord, there's a thorn in my flesh. Help me, help me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient to carry you through there. I tell you, Paul knew what it was to struggle with something. Some scholars say it was this, some say it was that. But let's understand, he struggled in his flesh, and through prayer, God told him, Paul, don't worry about it. I didn't save you as a perfect man, and you're not going to end up in heaven. By the works of your flesh, you're going to understand when you get there. You'll be worshiping my name because you're going to look back through the corridors of time and say, my God, I shouldn't be here. There's no right that I should be here. You're going to be like the prodigal son when he comes home and the father says, get the fatted calf, get a ring for his finger. My God, the father didn't ask him, where were you? Where did you do with the money? He accepted accepted them into the kingdom. My God, there are some people out there now. You've been striving with God's grace. You've been striving, but I'm here to tell you, take another look. God has done so much for you.
Vic, there's a battle going on in the church. There's a mixture between the old covenant and the new covenant. And the reality is we cannot add to the cross in this hour. We cannot add to the blood of Jesus Christ, because that's really a slap in the face to the Father God. We can't outdo what God already did. We can't outdo that He willingly sent His Son. And you know, Hebrews 12:24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than things of Abel. And you know, Vic, I'm thinking of Jesus in the book of Luke. He holds up the cup and He said, "This is the new covenant, which I shed my blood for the sins of many." And I love another translation or in another gospel, it says, "For the sins of you."
My God, I'm in Colossians. I'm falling in love with the book of Colossians. I haven't been here in a while, but God is starting to open it up to me, and I'm starting to get the revelations. I'm in the first chapter of Colossians still. I am in the 25th verse. "I have become its servant by the commission of God, gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mysteries that have been kept hidden from ages and generations." My God, you're coming into some knowledge that Moses didn't understand, Abraham didn't understand, Joshua didn't understand. They had a little idea, but my God, the Bible says that when Christ paid the redemption power, that all has been given to this generation. It says it's been hidden in past generations, but it is now disclosed to the saints. That's us. Come on. "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is in Christ, to you the hope of glory." My God, people, it's time to get excited. He's saying there was a mystery. It wasn't all known, but He said, "To you, the saints of God, the mystery would be open." I believe that we have to become mystery revealers to the people of this world. But I find myself becoming more of a mystery revealer to the church. And I want to tell you why. We have, as Rob said, a mixture in the church. It's the law versus grace. It's the law versus grace. But I started to think about that and pray. And there are men that are preaching the law and grace, the law and grace. And I started to look at the person as I would pray in the spirit. And I seen on the person that they were never able to forgive themselves, let alone believe that God could forgive them. And they walk with this delusion in their spirit of depression. And they preach a message that they don't even want to believe themselves. But I've come as the righteousness of God. My God, I come to tell you that He's done it all. Now I could hear some of you saying, "My God, but can we live like the devil, Prophet Vic? You know, with your message?" No, no, no. The Spirit of God moved in me, and I wage warfare against the things that the devil throws against me. But I tell you, it's not by my works that's going to get me into heaven. I believe God's been even expressing to me that there are some religious people that go to denominational churches that tune into this station. I tell you, it's time to shake yourself from that stinking religious, "Do this, do that." You could never do enough in your mind to please God. But if you could understand what I'm saying today, I tell you, if you can catch this by the Spirit, this is not something that you could learn, so to speak. You've got to catch it by a prophetic voice.
Yeah, well, Vic, I'm hearing the words "paid in full." Paid in full. And listen to me, people. It was paid in full at the cross. You know, Vic, if you go to a car dealership to buy a car and the manager comes out and says, "Hey, someone already purchased that car for you," you're not going to complain at that moment. You're going to receive the free gift. So this is what it boils down to. We don't have to serve God. We want to. We don't have to go to church. We want to. And it's not about necessarily being in church. It's about being in Christ. And, you know, in the book of Galatians, it says Abraham had two sons. And we know the story of Abraham and Sarah. Obviously, we know in the book of Genesis, God promised Abraham and Sarah Sarah a baby and, you know, went past the clock of fertility, let's say, in the natural. So Abraham takes things into his own hands. He tries to help God out. So he takes Hagar, which is Sarah's maidwoman. And then it says here, for it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, he of the free woman according to the promises. Now listen to this, Vic. Galatians 4:24. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants. The one covenant, Ishmael, gives birth to bondage. The one covenant of the free woman, which is the new covenant, which is the message of grace. Grace is not a message. Grace is a person. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the new covenant. It is the grace message, Vic.
And I want to tell you, people, you got to start to get your ears aligned with heaven, because I believe now things are even going to get a little more complicated. I believe that the Spirit of God has been telling me for the last several months to start to know the Word of God, and not to know the Word of God by your concepts, to learn the Word of God by prayer. My God, I stand in the prayer room. I say, Father, if you don't reveal this Word to me, I'm going to sound like a clanging gong. But my God, Father, I want to sound like Paul the Apostle. He said, Lord, give me the tongue of a ready writer. My God, I want to be able to scribe in your heart the love and mercy of God. I want to try to give you a picture that God loves you, that not only he died on a cross, he loved you before the cross, he loved you after the cross, he loved you in your sin, he still loves you in your sin, and he reaches out through his hand that has the blood and mercy and says, we have covenant.
You know, Vic, it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 30, nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. It is time for the church of Jesus to open the doors to cast out the bondwoman, which speaks of a legalistic religious mindset that we're adding to the cross. And, you know, this is what it's about. God wants to come into the love relationship. And Adam obviously blew it first, so God sent the second Adam, which is Christ Jesus. And, you know, Galatians chapter 5, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. And, you know, Vic, this is what God's doing is how he's setting his people free from mindsets of religious stinking thinking.